So we're standing in one of the coolest plaza in Paris called Place de la République.
We're in the middle of the day here, yeah, and so we see all different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Audrey Noltner is an urban planner and lives around the corner from here. The République Plaza underwent a massive renovation in 2013. Traffic was rerouted. Before, it was more of a traffic circle. Today, it's actually a plaza.
So you've got kids, you've got parents, you've got people all different ages, and there's actually a lot of girls. Girls like sitting by themselves, not doing anything, and this is a big thing. A woman come from a point A to a point B, but they never stop and they never not do something.
But here they are not doing anything in particular. Among the dozen or so people sitting at the base of the statue in the middle of the plaza are two young women talking to each other. Other women are sitting on benches around the plaza alone or in small groups. Noltner says the planning of this plaza has something to do with it. The city really took into account women's concerns. Things as simple as benches. There's a lot of seating here, but it's on large platforms or on stairs.
There's no small benches where if you sit in a bench, you're scared, like, oh, if another guy comes, he's going to sit next to me. You can choose where you want to sit, and it's big, and everybody can see you. You can see everyone.
Sightlines, the ability to have personal space, these are concerns for women in Paris and in cities in general. They're on their guard because harassment is a constant problem. A 2015 government study found that 100% of women, all women, who've taken public transportation in the Paris area have experienced some form of harassment, ranging from comments to groping, even physical violence. But beyond harassment is a sense of feeling comfortable being outside, alone.
Paris is not a dangerous city for women in part. And men can be as in danger as women, but less women are just in the street because they feel not welcome.
In terms of women-focused urban planning, Place de la République is a success story, but that's not the case in other areas. Recently, a group of residents in a neighborhood in the north of Paris started an online petition called Women, an Endangered Species in the Heart of Paris. It says their neighborhood's been taken over by men. There are no women in certain cafes, they say, no children play in the park. And women get insulted and harassed when they walk down the street. An article in the local Le Parisien newspaper brought the issue to the attention of the authorities, and the city responded by increasing police presence in the area.
So here we're coming up towards the square.
Today, the area is empty. A police van is parked on the boulevard. No one's on the street. But Audrey Noltner says this isn't necessarily going to make the area more welcoming to women.
You know, if you want more secure cities for women, it's not putting more cops or putting more CTV. It is a little bit, but even more important is to make sure the space is attractive and enjoyable for women so they're going to come and everybody else is going to come.
And she knows what she's talking about. She's the co-founder of Women Ability, a group that's focused on making cities more welcoming for women. In 2016, she and two colleagues spent 7 months visiting nearly 20 cities around the world to talk to women about what works and what doesn't. They chose cities with female mayors like Cape Town, South Africa, Sofia, Bulgaria, and Yokohama, Japan. In each city, they organized interviews with public officials and also set up walking tours with women.
Exploratory walks, so it's to walk in the cities with a group of women and gather their experience, what they like about the city, what they don't like, so we can compare.
They started in Malmo, Sweden, and even though there's a lot of gender parity in that country, women still have issues in their city, like a lack of lighting at night, not enough benches, details that make all the difference. In a city like Mumbai, India, the issues are different.
Mumbai, the big problem was that you could not go at night. You know, at 6 p.m. or as soon as night comes, women were not advised to go out by themselves.
And like many cities, Mumbai has problems with public urination, which Noltner says some residents have come up with a clever way to deal with.
In one neighborhood, they were so tired of pee everywhere that they put little picture of gods on the walls. So who would dare to pee on, Ganesh? I thought, can we do this in Paris and put, Zinedine Zidane picture or Zlatan picture? And I was like,
She laughs, but she says men urinating in public is serious. It's not just about the smell.
I live in a small street next to bars. In the morning, I smell pee from my apartment, and I think, psychologically, I know that a man was exposing his genitals in public space. When I come home, if I see a man peeing, he's drunk, so sometimes I see his genitals. I don't want to see his genitals, and that increases my level of insecurity.
On regarde qui on croise.
Sociologist Dominique Pogy has been organizing exploratory walks with women in French cities for nearly 15 years now. They're a way of including women and women's groups in local public planning. She trains women to lead the walks themselves, and they gather material to provide feedback to public officials. Today, she's walking around on her own in the 18th district of Paris, not far from the area targeted by the petition. It's a gray, rainy day. Not many people are out, men or women. Though there are pockets of men standing around in storefronts. Some are selling things on the street. It doesn't feel particularly hostile, but there's nowhere that makes you want to stop and slow down either. And at night, Pogy says, it's very different. The exploratory walks she organizes involve 6 to 10 women. They talk a lot before they go to focus their observations. They choose their routes based on the participants' daily routines and highlight trouble spots. We go together to these places, says Pogy, and observe. We stop, we speak, take notes. What makes it that I feel comfortable or uncomfortable here is one question, she says. There are questions about signage. Is it easy to find your way around? Because if you look lost, you're more easily seen as prey, she explains. There are observations about lighting, dark corners, about who is on the street. Where are the men? Where are the women? What are they doing? And if I had to ask for help, could I? More people in a public space who are aware of the issues makes everyone feel more comfortable. But of course, it needs to be a mixed group. The area highlighted in the petition, for example, was full of people, men, crowded together on narrow sidewalks. Widening the sidewalks won't solve the issue, says Pogy. Urban planning is important, but there's also cracking down on illegal activity and raising public consciousness. In public transport, for example, there should be constant campaigns reminding people to intervene if a woman is being bothered.
Si vous voyez une femme en difficulté, intervenez.
It's about citizens protecting each other, she says, getting out of their personal bubbles and being present for themselves and others.
C'est une présence à soi et aux autres.
Back at the République Plaza, Audrey Noltner continues to analyze the space. She points out that there are no designated areas for anything.
When you say, okay, this is where you're going to play basketball, this is where you're going to play soccer, this is when you go play skateboard, and so it's only targeted to one specific kind of people who want to do this kind of activity.
And those activities, sports, are often male-dominated.
In Paris, 90 to 95% of public equipment is used by boys. When you look at skate park, soccer stadium, street workout, they're only used by men.
And it starts early.
At the age of 13, women kind of disappear from public space.
So before they're on the playground
and
all that?
Yeah, but at 13, boys take over.
About 10 minutes away from the plaza is an area that shows this well. The sidewalk runs past a fenced-in basketball court. Right next to it is a small skate park with some ramps.
I've never seen one girl in this basketball court.
There's a fence around the basketball court, presumably to keep the balls from going out in the street, but it limits the space.
Here's the skate park, which is close also.
And both are being used by men.
The thing is, like, I'm not saying it's not good to have skate park and basketball, but the only problem is how come the space is only used by men and the public money that's being used is only benefiting boys. So either you need to change, have more girls being in it, so girls can say, oh, I can play too.
That's a cultural shift, which can be encouraged by having female basketball players, spending time on the court, encouraging girls. The other solution is rethinking how the space is designed. Lay it out so it encourages more female activities.
Can we build other spaces for playing volleyball or for dance or badminton, perhaps like more mixed sports?
Back at République, there is a skateboard area, a few ramps coming out of the concrete. There are benches around, but no fences. And there is a girl, Léa, who's 22 years old. She takes her skateboard with her everywhere. She's been coming here every afternoon for the past couple of months. She doesn't usually go to skate parks, but here it's more open. She can work at her own pace. None of this city planning is very complicated, but it does require seeing a city in a different way. There's a concept of gender glasses. When you put them on figuratively, you see the world differently.
And once you have the glasses, it's easy. When you see, okay, less girls are using the park, how can I change it? And The problem is not the solution. We have solution. The problem is that we don't see the problem. So once you see the problem, it's easy. So many cities are facing the same problem, and they have already came up with solutions, so we can just share them.
Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.